Let us pray. Lord, let the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Let our hearts meditate on you, Christ. Let the words of my lips be about you. Let us see you as the disciples have seen you. Let the Spirit shape us and bring us close to you, Lord. And bless us now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love every text we got today for different reasons. So I'm going to do what I do when I see that, which is I'm going to preach them all. And what I see in all the texts are these two themes: love and abiding. Love and abiding. What God does when He loves you. The love that God calls you to towards Him. And the result of that love, the love of your brothers and sisters. Let none of us be orphans in this community. But the interesting thing when I say love is that we love everything today. I love those shoes. I love this person. Every movie we watch has to have a love interest. Every story is about love. And the constant giving of this narrative of love towards everything, from the things I shop for, to sex, to the people I love, or the people, and a lot of times, people who serve me in some way, therefore I love them. All of this is like diluting the concept of love that comes from Scripture. What happens when you use a word over and over and over again, like the word awesome? At one time, awesome was only in reference to God. Now, it's a term the Ninja Turtles say. I'm showing my age. I grew up watching the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But and this delusion of love makes it hard for us to know what's being said here when he says love. And so I want to help us. Let's stretch our imaginations a little bit. In the thoughts of Augustine, love is the Holy Spirit. Love is the relationship between Christ and His Father. Love is the very core measure within God Himself, who is, and it's hard for us to understand because we're not, but in Himself is one God in a three-person relationship. For us, that feels like schizophrenia. For God, He's other, and it's not. It's a relationship. God, when He created us in His image, created us for love. What is creation but an extension of God's love? He didn't need us, but because of that love, it was only natural that the universe, that the world, that us, that we would be made more to love. The earth's forming and shaping in a way that we can live here, full of resources, and all the things God gives us is a sign of God's love for us. The fact that there's beauty and we can appreciate it is a sign of God's love for us. So love hovered over the waters of creation. Love brought order out of chaos. Love is in the very bones of the earth, the very fabric of the universe is formed through God's love. It is primal to who we are, what we were created for. And what were we created for? To have this relationship with God, that God could love us, that extension of who He is, and that we would become more and more like Him and be able to love Him. Why is there man and woman? So man could not be alone in this world. So woman could not be alone in this world, so that they could show that love that God has given us. So let's go deep with love. So in the Deuteronomy reading, Moses is giving his last great speech to the people before they go into the land God has promised for them after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And there's this concern that's going on, which is, when you go into this land, the idols that they worship will be more than you can bear. The idols that they worship, these false gods, these false loves, will turn you from love, will turn you towards death, because God is life giver. Right? God is the one who gives us love. And when we turn towards these false loves, we will turn away from life. They will turn you towards death. So I want you to remember, I am the pillar of fire that was before you. I am the one who spoke from the clouds. I am the one who gave you my commandments, which is a grace. I showed you what I expect from you. I set you apart. I delivered you from bondage and slavery. I brought you out, and I'm going to give you this land, so do not forget me. And if you don't forget me, this land is yours forever. And within that story, that narrative that keeps coming back, this is our land forever. Do not forget God. Do not turn to those idols and to those false powers and all those false loves. Do not turn to them. Turn to me. I in the path of love. And so he's calling them out. His love drove him to deliver them. His love has driven him to deliver each of us, to call us forth from darkness and death to life, light, and the love of God. He has called us forth. And within that calling is a promise to the people of Israel that I will dwell among you. I will dwell with you. That's the greatest act. What God, what power in this universe would live here? Would dwell among us, would take on our weaknesses, take on our sufferings, take on our struggles. What God would do that? This God, out of love, He came to us. Why? To restore us. To restore us to Himself. To restore us to the truth. To restore us. And in the reading in 1 John, it says, no greater love can one have but to lay down their lives. Right? And what does He do? He lays His life down for us out of love. And that love, so primal, is stronger than death itself and conquers death. And in so doing, gives us life. And He's calling us. This whole thing is His act towards us. His move to call us to Him. To have life. To be what you were created to be. To be what you are created to be. Which means we are not what we are created to be. In some sense, we are not fully human as intended. And so He calls us. And He doesn't just call us to follow Him. But so that we will not be orphans, but we will be the adopted sons and daughters of God. That Christ's Father will be our Father. that Christ will abide in us and we will abide in Him and receive new life. And following in this text, Jesus will breathe the Spirit upon them, as He did in creation. When He created Adam and Eve, what did He do? He breathed life into them. And He breathes the Spirit back into them. The Spirit, this advocate, this one He will send, but He has to go to send Him. And this Spirit will do what? Tell us this is true. The Spirit's role is to bring us to Christ, to bring us to faith, to let us trust in God, to grow in Christ, that Christ will dwell in us, and we together will dwell in Christ forever and ever. The land will be ours forever, that land brought to us by the Spirit, for the world is God's. And this whole action is the act of recreation, of restoring that which is broken and making it new. Right? That we are being made new. We are being called out and being formed of what God has for us. And because He is doing this, He says, love Me. And if you love Me, keep My commandments. As a challenge on love. Right? Love is more than a feeling. It's more than what we feel in our gut. In fact, when we read the Scripture, it's our feelings that bring the guilt that separate us from God. It's our feelings that confuse us. Our conscience is not reliable. Our fears are not reliable for truth. Our desires that drive us towards this false love and that false love are not reliable. The Spirit has come, and through the Scriptures, through the faith community, through prayer, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through taking the sacrament into ourselves, forms us and gives us confidence and freedom. See, we were in bondage. Scripture goes far as saying we were dead. And now we are alive. And since God has done all this and given you life and breathed it into you and given you the Spirit that brings you to Him and teaches you love, do what He does. Right? You know what John is saying. It's a hard saying. And what in both sections, you know that this is working in you because you love. Because you love, it's fruit of the Spirit, it's fruit of God's work within us. You know it because you love. So love your neighbor, not in a feeling of love, or in a bless your heart, or I'll pray for you, which is good. Pray for people, feel good about them. But he says, do it in truth. That is, do it as God has taught you. And do it in action. If someone is in need, if your brother or sister in this church or around you is in need and you ignore them, you hate them. That's what he says. That's what he points out. It's strong. And the reason it is strong is because he's calling the people in the text in that place where John's writing in Turkey. He's calling them. He's calling them to be the community of God in the midst of persecution. To not be divided by classes and Jews over here and the Gentiles over here and all these divisions. Don't be divided. Don't hold yourself over each other. But show love. And keep My commandments. If you love Me, love is about commandments. It's about formation. It's not commandments so that we can, you know, if I do this A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, then God will accept me. That's not the question. You're accepted. You're God's. He did too much. But the question is, how will you be formed as you are intended to be if you don't keep my commandments? And how do we keep his commandments? The Spirit works in us. We trust God. We trust in Christ and his work. And the Spirit forms us into this person that we're called to be. Frees our conscience from that pestering voice in the back of our head that separates us from God and says, you're not worthy of God. I mean, I have it. I think we all have that thing that says, you don't belong here. You're not right. Separate. Run. Get away. That voice. And God is saying, no, I love you. And I will go to any length for you. And I call you through that to love me. And if you love me, you will love those I love. And you will love the things I love. Keep my commandments. And the Spirit will work in you, and I will give you a helper. And that helper will lead you into me, and I will be in you. I will dwell inside you. You will dwell inside of me. You will abide in my presence. You will enter into the mysteries of God. You will grow in Christ. And one day, you will see me. You see me here through the Spirit now. But one day, you'll be like the disciples. You'll put your eyes on him, and you'll see the marks on his hands. The marks of God. And this is one of the contrasts that John is doing. First John is doing this love and life and hate and death. If you hate the person, you're a murderer. If you love, you are life. Right? Way of life, way of death. And what the comparison would have been there is follow the marks of Christ, who laid down his life for you, or follow Cain, the mark of Cain, who in anger killed his brother. The first murder in Scripture, the first murder in the history of time, the mark of Cain, or follow Christ. And so he calls you in love, follow me and I will give you life. You will be what you are supposed to be. You will find purpose. You'll find hope, and you'll learn to lay down your life as I have. And you will abide in me forever. And that's part of what this meal's about as we transition to the sacrament, the taking of the bread and the wine. That we take into ourselves that life which God gives us, that means of grace, that hope of glory, that promise that he is coming again, that remembrance of what he's done for us, and simple bread and wine, this recreating act, he creates us anew. And we abide in him, surrounded and filled with his presence as the sons and daughters of God. We will not be orphans. God loves you. And I pray God helps me love each of you and helps each of you love each other. And I pray that we all grow to love God through the power of his Spirit. God bless you. Amen.